Hi, my name's Elfie, and I'm your host. This is a very special presentation. It's a Cliff and Kendall Christmas double feature. First up, we've got Cliff and Kendall Save Christmas. It just keeps getting better every time I hear it. And then, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is comedy in A Journey to Bethlehem. What happens when Cliff and Kendall walk in on the birth of the Christ child? And now, Cliff and Kendall Save Christmas.
When December comes around, you can hear the sound. Sleigh bells in the air, it's Christmas everywhere. But every Christmas needs its hero to bring the cheer and help the snow. Who is gonna save Christmas this year?
Oh, the reindeer might be flying. You know Santa sure is trying, but alone he cannot do it. Someone's gotta get to it.
Every Christmas needs its hero to bring the cheer and help the snow. Who's gonna save Christmas this year?
Oh, the mistletoe needs hanging.
These carols, they need singing.
The gifts have gotta get neath the tree.
And this year I think it's up to you and me.
Every
Christmas needs its hero to bring the cheer and help the snow. We are gonna save Christmas this year. We are gonna save Christmas this year. We are gonna save Christmas this year.
Good evening. My name is Harvey, and no, you're not imagining things. I am a glass of eggnog. I'm here to tell you a story of two of the greatest heroes of Christmas. Now, you may have heard of Rudolph, Santa, the Grinch, Charlie Brown, Tiny Tim, George Bailey, and even Nestor the Christmas Donkey. But you haven't heard of all the Christmas heroes until you've heard the story of the year Cliff and Kendall saved Christmas. Cliff and Kendall, as you may know, were two big old boys from Nashville who grew up and left town. One went east, that was Cliff. He went to New York City, where the only things colder than the frosty Christmas wind were the icy hearts of the New Yorkers who never knew the joy of Christmas. And one went west. This was Kendall. He set out for L.A., where the spirit of Christmas is often forgotten, amidst warm winds and overly tanned celebrities. But even though Cliff and Kendall lived thousands of miles apart, they never forgot one another or the Christmas spirit deep in their hearts. They had so much Christmas spirit, in fact. This story begins in the North Pole, where Cliff and Kendall were about to attend the 74th Annual Christmas Spirit Awards, where folks were being honored for the love they showed their favorite holiday. Let's see what those boys are up to.
Cliff, are you ready?
I am. How do I look in my tux?
You look great.
Not too fat.
Maybe jolly is the word for it.
Well, I guess it is the right time of year for it. Let me just pin this sprig of holly to your lapel there.
Thank you very much.
All right, now tell me again why your beautiful wife Susan isn't here with us in the North Pole, about to attend the 74th Annual Christmas Spirit Awards.
Oh, she had to stay in L.A. and do some last-minute Christmas shopping. When I jumped on the red-eye from L.A. to the North Pole, she was still in line for that hot new Christmas gift item everyone's talking about.
Ooh, I hope I get one. Now anyway, we better get going. The next sleigh shuttle to the Bing Crosby Memorial Auditorium leaves any minute.
All right, let's go.
Later that evening at the 74th Annual Christmas Spirit Awards, Anticipation was building as the time for the final award of the night, the award for Most Christmas Spirit, was drawing closer.
Ladies and gentlemen, to present the award for Most Christmas Spirit, please welcome 42-time Christmas Spirit Award nominee, Blitzen.
Do you really think we have a shot?
You know, it's just an honor to be nominated.
Oh, my stomach is in knots.
How many fiber bars did you eat in the sleigh on the way here?
Four, but that's not the point. I really want us to win.
Thank you, ladies, gentlemen, elves, reindeer, and such. Christmas spirit is a term thrown around a lot these days. Too many people have lost it. But we've come here tonight to celebrate those few who stand out and stand up for the wonderful day known as Christmas. And we've come here for the gingerbread, who am I kidding? The nominees for Most Christmas Spirit are Randy Rang, the candy cane maker, Vladimir the Christmas vampire, Mrs. Santa Claus, Laverne the gift wrapper, and Cliff and Kendall, host of the Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast show.
This is it!
The award for Most Christmas Spirit goes to Cliff and Kendall, host of the Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast show.
This is Cliff and Kendall's first nomination and first Christmas Spirit Award.
Wow, thank you so much. We have to thank Santa, Baby Jesus, our devoted listeners, and oh God, I'm going to forget somebody, I just know it. Christmas has always meant so much to us, and we would be nowhere without it. We pledge to always honor Christmas in our hearts and keep it all the year. Thank you so, 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 so much.
Now, I just want to add...
Tonight's ceremony was brought to you by Caribbean Cruise Lines, now making trips to the island of Misfit Toys.
Christmas spirit don't come cheap,
but you and me, we've got a heap.
Nicely done.
Thank you, my voice is my instrument.
Some folks, they do not feel it, which I don't understand.
But we know how to spread it all throughout the land.
Christmas spirit,
I feel it.
It's here.
You know it.
All year. You know, in my head there are sleigh bells ringing all day long.
The story that my heart tells is the Christmas song.
It's Christmas spirit.
I feel it.
Right here.
We got it.
All year. Christmas spirit.
I feel it.
Right here.
We got it.
All year.
Christmas spirit.
I feel it.
Right here.
Oh, we got it.
Oh, yeah!
Well, Cliff and Kendall won the award, all right. They truly did love Christmas. And I wish the story ended there with smiles and hugs and sugar cookies all around. But every hero must face a villain, and Cliff and Kendall were about to meet theirs. You see, not everyone loves the 25th of December. Some people think it's all a commercial for greeting cards and electronic gizmos. They don't know the real meaning of Christmas at all. One such man was Mr. Finister Scrangle. You see, he didn't always hate Christmas. As a boy, he loved it like most children. But young Finister's dream was to be a toy maker. And as an adult, he realized his dream, pulling himself up by his bootstraps to create the Scrangle Toy Shop. But the only toy Finister created was a salsa maker for young girls, and he made the mistake of only marketing the salsa maker in Iowa, the state whose motto is, "We hate salsa." As Scrangle Toy Shop's stock went down, so did Finister's spirits. When his salsa maker manufacturing plant was shut down, he vowed to get revenge on Christmas, the holiday that had sparked his dream of becoming a toy maker. And to make a long story short, Finister Scrangle had decided the best way to get revenge on Christmas would be to kidnap the winner of the Most Christmas Spirit Award at the 74th Annual Christmas Spirit Awards. Which brings us back to our story.
Oh, look, there's our sleigh that'll take us back to the Holiday Inn.
Ha! Holiday Inn! Get it?
Yeah, I got it.
I can't believe we won! Most Christmas spirit!
I know, this is the greatest night of my life. What about you?
Tonight was so much better than my wedding, are you kidding me? My wedding was like spending the day locked in a porta potty compared to getting this award.
Oh, look, it's starting to snow.
No.
This could not get any more perfect. Do you think we can pull over by that bank of Christmas trees and take a picture? We could email it to your beautiful wife, Susan, my grandmother, and our frequent guest star, Alan.
Surely we can. I'll ask the driver. Excuse me, driver. Could we stop to take a...
Oh, no. You won't be making any more stops tonight.
But we're due at the Holiday Inn for the awards party sponsored by Pepperidge Farm Fruitcakes. It starts in 5 minutes.
Well, too bad. This is but the first Christmas party I will be ruining this year. I'm gonna ruin this whole holiday, and ain't nobody stopping me. Christmas is going to pay.
But what have you got against Christmas? It's the most wonderful time of the year.
By far. August is a soiled wad of toilet paper compared to December.
I'll tell you what I've got against Christmas.
Wait, I think I recognize you. Kendall, I think it was in InStyle or maybe Toymakers Weekly. But you know in the part of the magazine where they show pictures of Toymakers and it's all, Toymakers are just like us.
Oh yeah, you're Finister Scrangle. I saw that picture of you standing humiliated in front of the locked gates of your toy factory.
You were selling those chili pots.
No. Wasn't it a sauerkraut cooker?
I was selling salsa makers for little girls in Iowa, and it would have worked too if it hadn't been for Christmas.
Now how is it Christmas fault again?
All through the year, little girls in Iowa dream of getting salsa makers, except at Christmas time. Then they want dollies or teddy bears. Oh, who even cares? I'm gonna get rid of you, and no amount of your trademark sass can stop me now.
Things were looking pretty bad for Cliff and Kendall. After several hours of riding in the back of the sleigh, Cliff and Kendall were getting quite frightened. They were traveling on a beautiful moonlit night around a gorgeous snowy outdoor scene, and it should have felt just like they were sledding through a Courier and Ives print. But since they were being held hostage, and their captor was intent on ruining Christmas for everyone, they were understandably scared out of their wits. In fact, they were so scared it caused them to babble on and on about nothing, which really irritated Finister Scrangle. Cliff and Kendall got on his nerves so much that he eventually shoved them into the trunk of the sleigh, where they were out of his earshot.
How are we going to get out of this mess?
I don't know. Finister is out to ruin Christmas, and no one can stop him.
God, why didn't someone just tell him little girls in Iowa buy their salsa at the grocery store like everybody else?
Wait, I have an idea. Cell phones.
Oh my God, how could we not have thought of that before?
I hope I have service. Darn it, no bars.
Let's try mine. Yes, two bars. God bless you, Sprint PCS. Okay, I'm gonna call Santa. These North Pole phone numbers. Okay, it's ringing.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached. You have reached the voicemail box of
Santa Claus.
Oh, crap.
To leave a message, press 1.
What are you going to do now?
I'll call Mrs. Claus.
Hello? Mrs. Claus here.
Mrs. Claus, is Cliff and...
Hello?
Hello? Mrs. Claus, is Cliff and Kendall...
I can't hear you.
Oh, we're in a sleigh.
You fell for it. Leave a message at the beep.
Ugh, another voicemail.
After several more phone calls, Cliff finally got a live person on the line. Unfortunately, it was frequent guest star Alan.
So the people in my village would do this thing.
Alan, we don't have time for one of your Africa stories. We are stuck in the trunk of a sleigh, headed for the middle of nowhere, and Finister Scrangle is going to ruin Christmas unless we can stop him.
Oh, sorry. How can I help?
We need you to email Santa's workshop and tell him all about it. We called and went straight to voicemail. But if you email it, he'll get it on his hollyberry and then come and rescue us and save Christmas.
What's a hollyberry?
It's like a blackberry, but it's all Christmased up. Now quit asking questions and get to emailing.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, Alan.
I hope this works.
It did work. Well, it kind of worked, as you are about to find out. Less than an hour later, the boys were still locked in the trunk. But in the distance...
It only in my dreams...
Shh, listen, do you hear that?
I'm sorry, it must have been all those fiberglass.
Not that, you crude, listen.
Sleigh bells!
It must be Santa!
No, oh, Fenister Scrangle, slow that sleigh down!
Never! I have all the Christmas spirit locked up in the trunk, and you'll never stop me now!
Fenister, you can't see it now because of that large snowbank ahead of you, but you're coming up on Peppermint Canyon, and if you don't slow down, you'll go right in and Cliff and Kendall will become the Christmas version of Thelma and Louise!
What?!
Well, that slowed Fenister down all right. He did hate Christmas, but didn't want to end up looking like an exploded Yule log. Yes, once Fenister slowed down, Santa was able to free Cliff and Kendall from the trunk and take Fenister into custody. Cliff, Kendall, and Santa were so happy, in fact, that they decided to make a pit stop at Sister Fudge's all-night North Pole pie shop.
This chocolate pie is so good.
My pecan pie is delicious. What kind did you get, Santa?
Mincemeat.
Ooh.
Boys, I'm going to check on Fenister. He's probably getting cold out in the sleigh. Maybe I'll even take him a day-old piece of pumpkin pie.
Well, it is Christmas, and in the season of perpetual hope, maybe there's even hope for Fenister Scrangle.
Be right back.
Kendall, I never thought our night would turn out like this.
I know, but maybe it's for the best. I think Christmas this year will mean more to me than ever before.
You know, it doesn't come from packages, boxes, or bags. It can't be bought from a store. That Christmas feeling has to come from inside.
Christmas is forever, not just for one day. For loving, sharing, giving are not to put away like bells and lights and tinsel in some box upon a shelf. The good you do for others is the good you do yourself.
That was beautiful.
It's from this poem called Let Every Day Be Christmas by Norman Wellesley Brooks.
It reminds me of this bad joke I heard the other day. Now, what did Adam say the day before Christmas?
I don't know, Cliff. What'd he say?
It's Christmas Eve. Zing!
Whoa! Why did Scrooge love all the reindeer?
Tell me.
Because every buck is dear to him. guys! What's that, Sister Fudge?
While y'all were sitting there being sassy, someone just took off in the sleigh with Santa all tied up in the back.
Oh no!
Yes, just when it seemed Christmas was safe, Fenister Scrangle was up to his old tricks again. But this time he left the Christmas Spirit Award winners behind and took the head of Christmas himself, Santa Claus.
What are we going to do? We are in the North Pole with no transportation, stranded at this pie shop where at least there's pie, but Santa is gone and it's all our fault.
Cliff, you have got to stop freaking out.
But the salsa, Blitzen, fruitcake.
Snap out of it.
Thanks. I needed that.
I'm sorry I had to hit you.
It's okay. I forgive you.
Let's be friends.
Let's have a podcast.
Now listen, it wasn't 5 hours ago when we won this award for most Christmas spirit.
And
that means there's only one thing we can do. We are going to save Christmas.
Oh, boy.
There comes a time in every Christmas hero's life when they realize that thousands of children's hopes and dreams hinge upon them. When Rudolph had to guide Santa's sleigh through the fog. When the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes and he decided to give back the toys. And when Ernest had to convince that one guy that he should be the next Santa Claus at 0 hour on Christmas Eve. This was that moment for Cliff and Kendall. They had to rescue Santa in time for his midnight ride. And did I mention this was all happening on Christmas Eve? At 11:45 p.m. They had 15 minutes to save Christmas.
The sun is set. It's Christmas Eve. In the eyes of children, you can see that they believe that old Saint Nick is flying in his sleigh. With his bag full of gifts, he is on his way. As we grow older, it's harder to find the time and the spirit, the Christmas state of mind. Life never turns out the way that we planned. The reasons why we may never understand.
Christmas will come anyway, without one gift from a sleigh. And just like the star from the Christmas play, it means so much more than just one day. Christmas will come anyway.
15 minutes! We can't do it! Christmas is ruined!
Don't say that. There's always hope on Christmas.
Who said that?
It's me down here. My name is Elfie. I'm an elf.
How appropriate.
Have you guys seen Santa? My Santa tracking device says he was here only minutes ago, but then I lost his signal.
You have a Santa tracking device? That's great!
Santa was just kidnapped by Finisher Scrangle,
the evil ex-toy maker.
Well, I don't know if we should say evil. It's such a harsh word. Villainous, definitely. But we don't know his whole story. He's probably had a really hard life.
That's true with the whole salsa maker debacle. It really has been hard on him.
You know, God bless him.
Guys, Santa kidnapped, 14 minutes to save Christmas and counting.
Right. Elfie, if we use your Santa tracker, maybe we can track Santa and get him out of Finister's clutches in time for his midnight toy ride.
But the tracker is shorted out. We need a really powerful computer to get it back up and running.
Maybe Sister Fudge has a computer we can use.
Now, didn't you see she said one of those MacBook Airs? It's so light it can't be powerful enough to fix the tracker. It didn't even have a CD drive.
Oh, no!
Well, we can't just stand here. Let's get a move on.
So, with some snowshoes borrowed from Sister Fudge, Cliff, Kendall, and their new friend Elfie started making their way across the North Pole, roughly in the direction they thought Santa had been taken by Finister Scrangle.
Wow, this winter landscape is desolate, yet beautiful.
I hate to say this, but our trophy for most Christmas spirit is getting sort of heavy.
Well, if you'd let me carry it for a little while.
No, I got it.
What's that glint over there?
What is that? A weather station?
Looks like if Wally and R2-D2 had a baby and they left it to freeze for years and years alone in the North Pole.
Let's investigate.
It must be a motorized trash can.
Or a Christmas tree compactor.
I think it's trying to talk to us.
Let me brush this snow off.
I'll push the on button.
Someone found me.
What are you?
I don't know if that's a good question. What would you say if someone asked you what you are?
Fat.
I am a Yulebot model 1225. I was on my way to the North Pole one year to help Santa make toys. But I got stuck in a snowdrift and was frozen here until you guys came along.
That's terrible.
Well, you may as well join us. We are going to save Christmas.
I have always wanted to save Christmas. Ever since I was nothing but a chip in my robot mother's eye.
How long have you been frozen here?
That depends. I was traveling to Santa in the year 1849.
That's such a long time.
That raises a lot of questions.
None of which we have time for. We only have 11 minutes.
Wait! A chip in your mother's eye? That gives me an idea. Little Christmas robot, can we use some of your robot parts? Just for a minute? We'll give them right back.
If it means saving Christmas, of course.
Thanks, little Christmas robot.
My pleasure. And please call me 01060625E. That's my name.
Well, what do you know? Some Christmas magic must have been in the air. It looked like Cliff, Kendall, Elfie, and little 01060625E might just save Christmas after all.
Okay. The Santa tracker is working again. It looks like he's over Hanukkah Hill, right in the middle of Poinsettia Place.
Onward we go!
You carry little 01060625E, and I'll carry our award.
The four marched over Hanukkah Hill, through the figgy pudding bog, and around Chestnut Acres to reach Poinsettia Place. As they neared the crest of Mount Cinnamon, they saw an enormous gingerbread house with Santa's empty sleigh parked right outside.
They must be in the gingerbread house.
Elfie, I don't want you to be in any danger. You stay out here and put little 01060623 5E back together. Kendall and I will handle this.
And so Cliff and Kendall crept silently through the snow up to the gingerbread house. They crawled along the outside of the gingerbread house until they came to the spot beneath a window.
Our pants are going to be wet when the snow melts.
Oh no! These rented tuxedos we're still wearing from the awards ceremony earlier might be ruined.
That's one more Christmas miracle we need.
Okay, let's look through this window and see what's going on.
Santa's all tied up, and Finister's yelling at him.
And that's another thing. Why don't little girls in Iowa want to make salsa?
Finister, didn't I always give you what you wanted for Christmas when you were a boy?
No. When I was 5, I wanted a little red wagon. You got me a blue wagon. I was the only boy in town with a blue wagon. I felt like an idiot.
So what's the plan?
What is that? Whispering? Who's out there?
It's us. Cliff and Kendall.
And we've come to save Christmas.
And just how are you gonna do that?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Finister, I think my ropes are coming untied.
Great. Just what I need. I'll tighten his ropes, then I'll deal with you. You and your Christmas spirit.
That's it.
What's it?
Christmas spirit. Throw our award.
But I love our trophy.
You've got to do it, Cliff, for Christmas.
For Christmas.
Make your aim straight and true.
Oh, Finister, what is it now?
I should have thought of a really snappy line to say here.
Well, it's too late now. Here goes.
Got him!
Ho, ho, ho! You did it, boys! You saved Christmas!
No, Santa, I don't think we have. It's 39 seconds after midnight. You'll never make it all the way around the world to deliver your toys to all the good little boys and girls now.
Not alone, I can't. But with a little help.
You are kidding.
Hurry up, boys. If we hurry, we'll have just enough time.
Christmas spirit is more than an award. It's a way of life.
All the same, I'm just going to run and pick up our trophy and wipe the blood off of it real quick.
Christmas is here. It came back at last.
Hold on, remember, it goes by so fast.
There is no moment like this one right here.
Try to keep Christmas with you all year.
Christmas has come anyway. And just like the star from the Christmas play, it means so much more than just one day. Christmas has come anyway.
Christmas has come.
Christmas has come.
Christmas has come anyway.
And so it was. Cliff and Kendall rode in Santa's sleigh that year and helped him deliver millions of Christmas gifts all over the world. The little robot, 01060623 5E, made it to the North Pole at last. And Elfie finally became an orthodontist, as had always been his dream. After a long night of delivering toys, Cliff and Kendall came back to the North Pole to have a big breakfast with Santa and his elves.
Oh, God, I think I ate too much.
Me too.
Ho, ho, ho! We are so fat!
Santa, how is that eggnog?
Perfect! Little bit of egg, little bit of nog.
Santa, I wish Mrs. Claus had some salsa to go on these scrambled eggs.
Elves love salsa?
Oh, very much. It's just hard to get it delivered up here. If only there was a way for us elves to make our own salsa.
Kendall, Santa, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Yes, there was even one Christmas miracle left for old Finister Scrangle. He sold all his leftover salsa makers to the elves and was even asked to come back to the North Pole to help design new toys for next Christmas. Because on Christmas, as was said long ago, there should be peace on earth and goodwill towards all men.
Kendall, This is the best Christmas ever.
You're right about that, Cliff. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
When trouble came around, we answered the sound. Peril was in the air, there was danger everywhere.
But every Christmas gets its hero to bring the cheer and help the snow. We just saved Christmas this year.
Oh, the reindeer, they were flying, and Santa sure was trying, but alone he could not do it, so we had to get to it.
'Cause every Christmas needs its hero to bring the cheer and help the snow. We just saved Christmas this year.
The mistletoe is hanging,
carols the choir is singing,
the gifts are open neath the tree, and that
means Merry Christmas to you and me.
Every Christmas needs its hero
to bring the cheer and help the snow. We just saved Christmas this year. We just saved Christmas this year. We just saved Christmas this year.
Merry Christmas to all.
Ho, 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 ho.
And to all a good night.
And now, for the second episode in our Cliff and Kendall Christmas double feature, everyone's second favorite Christmas story, The Birth of Jesus, starring Cliff and Kendall.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. This included two very fat street performers named Cliff and Kendall. They were so obese that it took them an extra long time to travel to their own city, which happened to be Bethlehem. Their lateness nearly caused them to be left out in the cold, but they were lucky enough to find one vacant room remaining. We join them there now as they unpack and unwind from their arduous journey to Bethlehem.
Cliff, I'm so tired. That was an exhausting trip across the desert.
It was such a journey, Kendall, here to Bethlehem to pay our taxes. We're street performers. What does Caesar Augustus even think that we're going to, what is kind of tax money?
You spent so much money on food. He obviously thought we had a lot more than we did. If you hadn't packed this whole damn suitcase full of sugar-covered figs to cross the desert with, maybe our camels wouldn't have died on the journey.
Listen, I know who killed our camels. It's you from sitting on them the whole way. You had to lay across both of them. You had to hitch them together and try to lay on them like it's some kind of a moving bed. But it was camels, and then the rabbi, when I went to Hebrew school...
Well, Cliff, I have back problems. I can't sit on a camel all the way across the desert.
You need to do like my friend Johavi, and he lays on that bed of nails, and he collects rubies from the people on the street as like a, they think it's a talent.
but you needed to sleep on one of those beds of nails. That's what I've been telling you for years.
Well, one of my best girlfriends, Cliff, her name is Jonah, she swears by sleeping in a really good bed all the time, having a nice, firm cushion of goat, you know, wool. A goat wool. A really good cushion of sheep wool.
Sheep wool, goat wool, who in the hell knows? I'm a street performer. What I do, what I live, what I breathe, is I stand on the street and we entertain. We just do it. People just say, if they had any sense, they would throw rubies into our pouches that we throw out. But they don't.
If we weren't so fat, we'd be street walkers.
Well, if, you know,
take that, Caesar.
I've often heard that that's the oldest profession, is the street walker. Of course, it's, you know, not that I know anything about streetwalkers. I would never do such a thing.
Ever.
Ever.
Why don't we pack larger robes and sandals? These are so tight. I feel so enormous in these.
Kendall, we had to walk at least, 200 miles after our camels died. You'd think we would have lost some weight walking down that path out there in Nineveh.
Again, sugar-covered figs.
Kendall, what is this in your suitcase? This is... What is this thing? What do you even use this for?
I care not to comment about that. That is for a long time. It was a long, long journey, Cliff.
It was a long, long
And after journey. The camel died, what did you think I was supposed to do?
You know, it was so long, I felt like I was just waiting. And waiting, like I've been waiting all these many years for a Messiah to come. I'm just waiting. I'm just sitting here waiting.
He's coming. I feel it. I feel it. He's coming.
But anyway, did you see when we registered downstairs here at this inn, did you see what the owner, the way he turned away that fat woman who tried to register after us because we took the last room?
What a Philistine she was.
Oi! Oi! She was so fat. What does she expect? A big fat woman like that? And then her husband, they looked real PO'd. I don't know what...
Where are we supposed to sleep? In the barn?
Listen, Kendall, I cannot... With a common ass, me, in the barn, with an ass? I don't think so. Those cattle, have you ever slept...
I'm already sleeping with one ass.
Oh! Kendall, the cattle are lowing, and it just keeps me awake when the cattle are lowing like that, you know? I just can't sleep.
You're always lowing in your sleep.
You're going to low that out your ass. Oh!
This is why we're street performers. This is why.
It just comes out. And the Israelites, listen, when we get down and we go on that street and the people of Bethlehem and all these unlucky schmucks who have come to Bethlehem like us because they were unlucky enough to be born here and they've got to come back and pay your taxes because Caesar Augustus needs more gold on his latrine than God. I've had it up to here with Caesar Augustus.
I have too. And if we don't get out there and get busy telling jokes on the street, we're not going to be able to pay our taxes because you spent so much money on sugar-coated figs.
And yes, it was true that Joseph had also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child. And yes, it was the fault of the two portly street performers that the holy couple of Mary and Joseph were led to sleep in the barn. For due to Cliff and Candle's morbid obesity, there was no room left in the inn. We now join Cliff and Candle in the streets of Bethlehem as they attempt to earn their living.
Hear ye, hear ye, citizens of Bethlehem. It's time for some jokes with the street performers.
Oh, we are here to make you laugh and forget about these tax troubles. Kendall, is there any worse time of year than tax season?
Only the times that you die, Cliff. But that's what we were sent here to do, to pay our taxes and to make these people laugh and forget about the troubles.
Gather round. Listen to us.
Why don't you start us out? Oh, ye cliff of Israel. Of Ishmael.
Listen, with my father Ishmael, when he called me Cliff, he named me after his favorite part of the landscape where I was born.
Sorry, I've been drinking too many of these grapes over here. I think they're a little old.
I've been eating some fermented figs. I think that they might have soured and gotten even better on our trip.
Yes.
But anyway, all right, can you hear me back there? Back there near the apple stand? All right. Kendall and people of Bethlehem, deep within a forest, a little turtle began to climb a tree. And after hours of effort, he reached the top, jumped into the air, waving his front legs, and he just crashed to the ground.
Mm.
And after recovering, he slowly climbed the tree again, jumped, and fell to the ground. The turtle tried again and again, while a couple of birds sitting up on a branch watched his sad efforts.
Mm.
Finally, the female bird turned to her mate. "Dear," she chirped, "I think it's time to tell him he's adopted." Oh, turtle, adopted turtle. Can there be anything funnier? Is there anything funnier, Bethlehem, than adopted turtles living with a bird family?
I know one thing that's funnier, Cliff, and people of Bethlehem, our good friend, Little John.
Oh, Bethlehem, Little John, can you believe it?
He bet this little girl that he would give her 3 cookies if she could climb a tree.
Little Ruth. Oh, my goodness.
Little Ruth. Now, Little Ruth climbed this tree and looked and took the 3 cookies home and told her mother, said, "Mother, Mother, Little John told me that he would give me 3 cookies if I would climb this tree." And she said, "Little Ruth, he just wants to see up your robe to see your undergarment."
Oh, no.
So this same thing happened again. The next day, she came home and said, "Mother, Mother, Mother, Little John gave me 3 cookies to climb the tree," and said, "Honey, he's trying to see your undergarments under your robe." It happened again the next day. This little girl, she was not so smart. She did
Ruth,
the same
little
thing.
Ruth.
She came home. So finally, her mother said, "Little Ruth, I told you Little John is just trying to see up your robe to see your undergarments." And she said, "Well, that's okay, Mother. I didn't wear any."
Oh,
he saw more than
goodness.
Undergarments under that robe.
Oh, Messiah. Kendall, a young Israelite, was complaining to his employer about the problems he was having with his stubborn wife.
Oh.
And he said, "She gets me so angry, sometimes I could just hit her," the young man exclaimed. And which we all know, we've all had to beat a woman in the face a few times, right, to get her to do right. It's a common thing, complaint.
Those without sin... Throw that first
Cast
stone.
The first stone.
Throw
Hit
it.
The first woman in the face. "Well, I'll tell you what I used to do with my wife," replied the boss. "Whenever she got out of hand, I'd take her pants down and spank her." Of course, I don't even know what pants are. Pants, that's some kind of like a... that's kind of like a bottom dressing.
Bottom dressing. Bottom dressings are what you wear to cover up from bottom belches. I think we just coined a phrase.
I think we did. Oh, and the young Israelite, he just shook his head and replied, "Well, I've tried pulling down her bottom dressings. It doesn't work for me. Once I get her bottom dressings down, I'm not mad anymore." Oh no. He is so turned on that he just can't even fathom. And everybody, I don't condone beating your wife, but we all know sometimes you have to kill a slave or sacrifice one of your children to God or beat your wife. Sometimes you just have to do this. Sometimes there is a harlot and she must be stoned. Sometimes you gotta stone a harlot. Am I right, Kendall?
You are correct with your bottom dressings on.
Oh.
Now that's all the jokes I have for the people of Bethlehem, Cliff.
Oh, Bethlehem, I got one more. Come on back.
Oh,
I got
one more. Sorry, one more.
Kendall, this one is, they're going to really throw the gold coins in our pouch for this one, all right?
Oh, good.
All right, Bethlehem.
A man hasn't been feeling well, so he goes to a healer in his village to see what's wrong.
Oh, Satanism.
Afterward, the healer comes out with his findings, and the healer says, I'm afraid I have some very bad news. You're dying, and you don't have much time left. Oh, oi! Oi, vey!
Oi, oi, oi.
That's terrible, the man says. How long have I got? And the healer, he says, 10. And the man says, 10? 10 what? Months? Weeks? What? Then the healer interrupts, 9? 8? 7? Oh, Kendall, no. He had 10 seconds to live. Oh, isn't that God. The worst?
That is the worst. I would have spent them wisely. I would have run to the nearest buffet of food.
Run to the nearest buffet. Run to the nearest den of iniquity, Kendall. And that's it. That's all we got. There's nothing worse than 10 seconds to live except for these taxes that we owe to Caesar Augustus. But we got to go in. Thank you for your donations, Bethlehem. Thank you.
People.
Have a great night. We're here all week.
Ooh, that was very taxing, Cliff. That was very taxing. I think we should go lay down and take a short break from all this for just a moment.
Oh, I got to lay down. I got to lay down.
And it came to pass that after a brief respite, Cliff and Candle went into the local alehouse for a nightcap, completely unaware that history was being written just a few yards away, and that this holy night would live forever in the hearts and minds of the faithful for all eternity.
Oh, Cliff, that I feel so much more refreshed now, now that we've had a nap and we've come down to the ye old ale house.
Yo, Kendall, I needed some wine. I feel a little bit bad that we've already spent all the money that we made this morning on wine.
And all the money we were supposed to pay for taxes.
But you know, we'll just go out later, we'll do another set of jokes for some new people, and
We'll make it all back.
I have a feeling that we're going to be fine. But Kendall, this wine is so good, and all these olives are so succulent.
Oh, and this lamb jerky, Cliff, is amazing.
I love dried lamb, dried salted bits of lamb. I think I got the liver here. It is delicious.
Oh, I wish I got the liver. I have the giblet.
Some guys have all the luck, Kendall, but would you rather live in a house made of wet sand, or would you rather sleep on a bed of cow dung?
Oh.
Sometimes I'm just, well, like, you know, we traveled for so long on camelback and then on foot after our camels died because we sat on them for too long. I had these weird thoughts come into my mind during some of those sandstorms when we couldn't really talk to one another.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, which would you rather do, live in a house made of sand or sleep on a bed of cow dung?
Or those times you were eating so much we couldn't talk to each other.
Sometimes I was eating so much, yeah.
I would rather live in a house of wet sand. Because it can't smell
would
as
you?
Bad as dung.
I guess that's true. Of course, big glops of it might fall in your face into your breakfast fiber meal mush.
Oh, well, more fiber to you.
Oh, Kendall, these figs and dates are so good.
Oh, Cliff, put the sugar-coated figs down. They're going to be the death of you.
Kendall,
I hope somebody is born soon to die for your sins, or you're going to hell.
Kendall, this, you know, when I first bought this robe that I'm wearing, it was loose and flowing. Now I look kind of like a piece of dried lamb jerky.
I think they're going to have to make new robes for us. We're the largest people here.
We're so tall and big, there needs to be a special robe maker for us.
Now, Cliff, I actually was thinking to myself, too, some questions to ask you if you would rather do this or would you do that? And Cliff, would you rather...
Hey, I've had enough wine. I'll answer whatever you got.
Okay.
I'll go to one of those...
dens of Healers. Iniquity with you.
Okay.
I'll go to a healer. I got a problem with my back after some asshole, and by asshole I mean anus of a donkey, was sleeping on top of my camel and killed it because he's so fat.
It wasn't me, it was the figs. You philistine. Cliff, would you rather be stoned to death or would you rather die from lack of water in the desert? Now, we got close to that one. So which would you rather would happen to you, Cliff?
I guess I'd rather die from lack of water, being stoned to death. I've been, you know, part of so many crowds stoning people to death before we got here to the city of David where it's, you know.
Stoning's illegal.
Ooh.
Oh, Cliff, you could be drawn to the gallows for that.
Yeah, it's every time that I've been part of a crowd that stoned somebody to death, it looks so brutal.
Well,
and
wrong.
I don't think I want that done
wrong.
To me.
Wrong.
Wrong? Oh, my goodness.
Because think about how long it takes to die of lack of water and how quickly you go when you're stoned.
Oy, I guess you're right.
Maybe one day they'll think of something better with the name of stoned.
Maybe.
We can only hope.
Kendall, would you rather, and this is going to sound like something we did, would you rather ride a camel through Jerusalem in the summertime? Oh, and you know how hot it gets in Jerusalem in the summer.
Oh.
Remember we played that one inn at Jerusalem in the summertime? And yeah.
And my robes got real sweaty.
Kendall, I could barely stand next to you to tell jokes. But would you rather ride a camel through Jerusalem in the summer or ride an ass through Nineveh in the winter?
Oh, Cliff, I've read an ass many times through Nineveh in the winter.
Oh, because I'm going to coin a phrase. What happens in Nineveh stays in Nineveh. I don't want to hear you talking about it.
That's destined to become a classic right there. I think I would rather ride...
If I knew how to write, I would write that down.
Mm. I'd rather ride a Nineveh because anything in the winter is better. I mean, ride a Nineveh. Ride an ass. Because anything in the winter is better than the hot, hot summer.
It is.
Now, Cliff, I know that we've talked a lot about camels, but I got another one for you. Would you rather eat a pile of camel dung or eat a bowl of living fly larvae?
Kendo, I would rather die. Either of those.
That is not an option.
I would rather.
If Caesar was here himself with a knife to your throat, which choice would you take?
Oh, Caesar is not enough to take all of my earnings and wages. And
he's going
to
make you eat camel dung too.
I guess I would try the fly larva. And then
sample the larva.
Depending on how good that was, I'd move on to the dung. Kendo, would you rather lick an old sandal or chew on the hoof of a calf?
Well, calves are fairly new to the world, so I say calf.
Chew on a calf hoof. All right, there you go. A quick answer from an honest man.
Oh, that was fun. That was fun. We should do that more often.
That was, Kendall, finally.
Oh, and more fun finally. To come.
Kendall, you know with me, it's never enough fun.
Never enough fun.
Would you rather be caught in a well with
food.
A Samaritan or stuck in a cow stall with a Philistine?
Well, Cliff, I have heard that some Samaritans can be good, so I'll go with the Samaritan.
Well, Kendall, you've heard. You've been talking to some other people that I haven't been talking to, but Kendall, that was great. That was great. Listen, I've had enough wine. Let's just go walk it around, okay?
Oh, have we? I'm taking my wine to go.
And so, the two portly patrons left the ale house and walked towards the inn. Although they were headed no place in particular, what they found was a miracle. The birth of Christ the Lord.
Oh, Cliff, I'm so glad I brought this wine with me.
Oh.
Who would want to walk the streets of Bethlehem wine?
Well, Kato, I did. I have to admit, I snuck some wine into my little canteen here made out of camel hide.
I don't know where you hid it. There's no room. There's no room left in your robe.
There's not. Just like there was no room left. Oh.
Oh, here we are at our inn.
Our inn, Kendall. What is this? This is the barn.
What is all that even going on in there? Is someone having sex with a donkey in this barn?
Oh, Kendall, you have sex with one goat, and you know what they call you.
What is that sound, though?
Kendall, peek in there. What is that sound? I've got to hear. I've got to know. I'm so nosy.
Hello?
Hello?
Who is that?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that fat woman is laying on the ground over there.
Oh, it's those two fat guys that took the last room. Get out. Get out. I'm having a baby here.
Oh.
Tell those fastos to get out.
Oh, my. Close the door.
Oh. Well, that was something you don't ever want to see, ever.
Oh, also, the acoustics were so weird in that barn. Oh, my. Oh, Kendall, I thought she was just fat. She was giving birth. She was great with child.
She didn't know she was pregnant.
She didn't know. She was pregnant. Oh, my God. Where are they going to put that baby in that trough? That feeding trough?
I don't know. They best not think they're coming to our rooms with that stinky, loud baby.
Kendall, what is that? Oh, who are all these people coming towards us?
Do you think they heard us in the streets and they're fans?
Yay! Shalom, who is coming towards us? Who are you?
Hi, my name is Hezekiah and I'm a shepherd. We're just following this star. There's a star that we were told to follow from an angel.
Oh my, us, Kendall, he's talking about us, the angels.
Oh, we are the shining stars of Bethlehem.
Angels from the heavens above are telling.
Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm actually talking about the celestial star that's up above this stable right now. If you look just right up above, it's pretty brilliant and bright.
Oh!
Oh, well, look, Cliff, look at there. There is a star above
Kendall,
us.
It is the brightest, shiningest star. We just have been we've had too much wine and too many sugared figs. We've had too many sugared figs to even notice this star up above this stable here.
Well, the angel, she told us that it's a star, and that underneath the star will be the Messiah. The Messiah will be being born tonight under the star.
Oh, for a moment I thought he was saying we were the Messiah, but he's being born. That must be that baby being born in the barn, Cliff.
Oh my God, Kendall, you were just talking about a dirty, filthy baby, and it is the Messiah. Oh my Lord.
Oh Lord, forgive me. I mean that wonderful baby could share our room. If there was any room in our room, he could share it, but
If we were not so fat, there would have been room for the Messiah to be born in a hotel room. What a great story that would have been. That would have been the start of the greatest story ever told if the Messiah had been born.
Do you think we'll be burned in hell for this?
Kendall, I don't even want to think about what the Messiah might do to us. Let's just start worshiping him right away.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God in the highest.
Oh, hark, the herald angels sing.
Oh my goodness, it is a heavenly host of angels, Kendall. Can you even believe it?
Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King.
They lay.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. May God bless you and keep you this Christmas and always.
I sure hope you enjoyed this Cliff and Kendall Christmas double feature. I know I sure enjoyed it. All right, Merry Christmas, and I'll see you real soon.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. Merry Christmas, everyone.